the new book out called Out. And John will be at the Peter White Public Library this evening for a reading at 7 o'clock in the community room at the library. So we sure hope you can stop by and find out more about his new novel, Out, and maybe get to meet the author and pick up a copy of the book. John, welcome so much.
Thanks. Thanks for having me back, Hans.
Now, Out that's actually, this is a continuation of, it's not necessarily a sequel to one of your previous books, but one of the characters comes back.
I'm hesitant to call it a full-blown sequel.
Right.
It is set in the central UP, as was Cold, which came out in 2001. One of the main characters in this book, Del Mackey, was a main character in the earlier book, but the rest of the cast of characters in Out are all new. If you you don't have to have read Cold to be able to get through Out, I hope.
Well, I read Cold but forgot most of it.
Right, right.
And thoroughly enjoyed. Yeah. You've moved on through so many stories, I don't know how you can remember them all. But there is another character that seems to come back too, and that is the UP winter.
Yes.
The weather.
Yes.
Which I got to tell those of you listening right now, if you're thinking of reading Out and you haven't already, you may want to wait till summer, till we know winter's definitely over. Because I got to tell you, I had some twitches during this blizzard in Out. It's it brought me back to this past winter.
The Snowbound books should probably sell this with scarves, hats, and gloves. You know, you get a sartorial package. I do love winter. I'm glad when it finally leaves after 7, 8, 9 months or whenever. And I find there's something about blizzards ever since I was a boy. There's an excitement to it. There's a sense of drama and emergency. And not all my books are set during blizzards, but living up here, it seems perfectly justifiable to write more than one book where there's a raging blizzard. So Cold had its own blizzard. And Out is yet another blizzard, which is no stretch of the imagination for those of us who live up here. This story is, in terms of the time frame, is very compressed. Mm-hmm. It takes place during the course of one night, beginning in the late afternoon and rolling through the night and concluding in the morning hours of the next day.
And really, the main character is really a trio of characters, the woman, Marcia,
yes,
and the two men in her life,
yes,
who she's sort of, you know, they're so different, these fellas, so she's attracted them in different ways.
Yes.
And there's another pretty important character who comes out in a bathroom later on.
this book is not only set in a blizzard, and I hope this isn't taken the wrong way, there are a number of scenes that take place in various bathrooms.
Mm-hmm.
And unusual or unexpected things happen in the bathrooms, but again, there's something about the confined space of a modern bathroom somehow complements the enormity of the blizzard that is outside this house. Very simply, the storyline follows the one main character who comes back from Cold. His name is Del Mackey. In Cold, he was a constable in a fictional town called Yellow Dog Township. Of course, we know there really is the river, but I just put a little township out there on the river. It's years later, he's retired, and he's recovering from surgery. He lives out, and as you all know, I'm sure, out, we often say up here, refers to someone who lives just a handful of miles outside of Marquette, and it changes their relationship to everything.
Mm-hmm.
Some are truly off the grid, but many of them still have the modern conveniences of electricity and running water, as he does. But, you know, living 6, 12, 18 miles outside of Marquette, particularly in the wintertime, it's a very different situation. So he's in his house recovering from surgery, and this group of people that he doesn't know suddenly are they come to the house to get out of the blizzard. And so for the evening, their lives unfold in what I hope is a rather dramatic way.
Well, one of the, I don't know what the technique may be called besides flashbacks, but you really do bounce between the narrative of several characters' stories to help spell out the story, which increases the tension, because often when you wrap up one little segment and move to another character, I'm like, no, I want to hear, I want to hear more.
I enjoy reading books that have multiple point of view. Not all of my novels are. My last one, Wolf's Mouth, was one point of view, but a good number of them, I'd have to do a little calculation to figure out how many, but a good number of them do have multiple points of view. And as the writer, you know, I would get up certain mornings, and the first question I would ask myself, well, who am I going to be today? I honestly wouldn't know. I mean, I don't plot these things out in advance. And if the writing is going well, it's almost like the old days of AM radio, where you're turning the dial in the dark of night because you can't sleep, and you pull in these really weak stations that, you know, are staticky, and then all of a sudden one comes in loud and clear. And when you, when that voice, when that character comes in that loud, you stay with it. The idea that you cut away from one point of view to another, then another and another, certainly that does lend something to the dramatic impact. The narrative arc is more complicated. I don't believe in true cliffhangers, as we saw when we were kids in the movies, but you do try to have a section about one character conclude, so that the reader is going to say, well, I've got to read, you know, so many pages to get back to find out what happens next to that particular character. If that's a plot device, I'll take it.
Yeah, well, it certainly worked. And it does, as I said, it does increase the tension because it's a tense story. I mean, you've got the blizzard. You've got people who are really fundamentally trying to survive in some cases. And how they pull through or how they negotiate and navigate the various situations, you know, it's almost as though when I would get to one scene and I'm working my way through it and then there's a twist or something else happens, I'm like, oh my Lord, what next?
Kind of
like when you're in a blizzard and you're stuck and you don't know what to do and how do you get out of this? You have to manage it.
Absolutely.
As a reader, you feel the same way.
We've all been in these situations when we have bad weather up here. You know, the electricity goes out or the furnace goes off or whatever. And you have to have your wits about you. And you have to, you know, take stock of what is available, what do you need at that moment. And the other thing is, one of the things I love about this area is we help each other out. You know, you drive down the road and you see somebody who has spun out and is stuck in a snowbank. You pull over and, you know, you make sure that they're all right. I don't want to say that that doesn't help happen elsewhere, but I think we do understand the need for kind of sticking together, and this environment really does force the issue in that fashion. You know, you mentioned earlier that there this young woman, Marcia Fournier, she's the physical therapist for Del Mackey. So at the beginning of the story, she comes and suddenly she can't leave the house because the storm gets so bad. There are two young men in her life, and one is a carpenter, does odd jobs, handyman work, and so forth around the area. And the other one, I'll say, is a petty thief. So there's what I hope is a distinct contrast between the two, and their personalities certainly represent that. And my hope is that as the story progresses, without giving away the concluding situations, some of these characters truly do change. If they seem a certain way at the beginning to the reader, my hope is that they'll see that certain characters, I'll mention, for example, Connor the carpenter. He's a different young man by the end of the story.
Most definitely. And I was just going to bring him up. I think we've all met Connor, the carpenter, the worker, when you meet someone who has bare paws for hands that are calloused, because this is what the guy does.
He
works with his hands,
and
he knows how to do that. And the other, the contrasting character, Barr, he I think you've met his attitude probably several times here and there, because he's got his wits about him, but he kind of seems to live more in the moment, and he's got a sarcasm or almost a chip on his shoulder.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
So, you know, to have these three, and then there are several. And I have to say, there's a woman we meet. Her name is Essie, who's a Finnish
yes.
heritage. And she's my favorite character.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Yeah.
There's something spiritual, not religious, but spirit. It's almost like she's otherworldly in this world of the Blizzard.
As I said earlier, I don't really plot these things out. Mm-hmm. Things just happen. For me, when something unexpected happens or a character says something I didn't expect, that's usually a good sign. If I'm taken by surprise, maybe somebody who reads the book will be as well. I didn't at first think she was going to be such a substantial character.
Mm-hmm.
It's not giving away too much. Connor, when he is driving out of Marquette through the blizzard to find Marcia at Del Mackey's house, he encounters a car accident. And this woman and her dog are there. And I thought she was just going to be sort of an incidental character. But the more I developed, the story developed for me, really.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow there is a spiritual connection between her and the blizzard.
Mm-hmm.
She's almost the embodiment of that extreme environment.
Yeah.
And yet we often think of blizzards as being these horrible things. There's something quite uplifting about her, to me anyway. I mean, she cherishes the moment. She keeps saying, well, where else should we be but here in the storm? And Connor doesn't get this at first. He thinks, she's just kind of, she's out there.
Yeah, doesn't he ask her, where are you going? And she's like, here.
Yeah.
What?
That's right. Yeah. I appreciate the fact that...
So if you didn't have great plans for her, why did she even show up in the first place?
Well, it took me years to write this thing. I can't honestly remember. I'm just going to have to take the fifth on that. It really does take me years to write these books. And there were times when I will follow a certain segment of the story, and I'll get down often many, many pages, 50 or even 100 pages, and I'll suddenly realize this is going in the wrong direction. And I will cut that portion out. I'll go back to where the story felt like it was on solid ground. I honestly don't remember, but I think it was just the fact that here he was driving through this increasingly bad storm, and he actually encounters this vehicle with a dog in it,
mm-hmm.
and there's no person, but then he sees the trail of that somebody has left through the snow, walking through the woods up the road, and he follows that, and eventually he encounters her.
Right.
And as I said, I didn't really intend for her to become a major character. But as soon as she got in the car and started talking to him, I realized, she's going to stick around for a while.
Well, it's the way you talk about it, your writing and the planning and scheduling. It almost sounds like you're like us, in a sense. You might be writing it, but you want to find out what comes next, too.
Very much so. I've said this before. One of the questions people ask, which frankly is impossible to really answer, is where do your ideas come from? I have no idea. I often think, to go back to the radio metaphor, since we are on the radio, I think that there's like this narrative, this story universe that's out there.
Yeah.
And as writers, we just try to adjust our antenna so we pull in a story that's going to work for us. And it's something that's received, it's a gift, and I'm just grateful that I can pull in a few every now and then.
All right. And we're grateful for Out. John Smolins has been our guest this morning here on Public Radio 90. He'll be at the Peter White Public Library here in Marquette tonight at 7 in the community room for a brief talk about the book and maybe a little bit of reading.
I'll read a few passages.
Are you gonna meet everybody and say hello?
Absolutely.
And have books available?
Snowbound Books will
Snowbound.
Be there with books.
All right.
Yep.
So everybody, we want to see you out there tonight at 7. Thanks, John, for coming by.
Thank you very much, Hans.